baggage. Baggage. That's something in those two stories about baggage. And in 3 weeks' time, baggage will be very much on my mind. Because I will be at Stansted Airport, late tea time on Sunday in 3 weeks' time, with my baggage, about to get on a flight to go on holiday. Now, we travel with budget airlines. We travel with Ryanair. Ooh, you laugh, but actually, we like them. We think they're really good. And often, well, most of the time, we don't have any problems with them. But we, you know, they like to charge for the extras, Ryanair. You know, they're cheap tickets, but they don't quite charge for going to the loo on the plane there. But they did talk about that a few years ago. We like to save money, so we take just cabin baggage with us. You know, we just take a little suitcase with us. A great thing about Ryanair is you can take a little rucksack as well, or a handbag for free. EasyJet don't let you do that, by the way. You have to stuff all in your suitcase. So we just take cabin baggage. But what we've learnt, and we've learnt a little trick, they only allow 90 bags on the plane. They only have space for 90 bags in the lockers above the seats. And there are more than 90 people on the plane, so we've learned a little trick. Everybody else is rushing to queue up. And so we sit there, waiting. And that's very difficult for me, because I'm normally the person who wants to get in the queue, and I don't travel well. And we sit there waiting, Caroline calming me down, you know, waiting. And we have learned that once 90 bags have gone through onto the plane, somebody, one of their staff, starts coming down the queue and putting little yellow tags on the suitcases. And what they do is you can take your bags through, and at the bottom of the steps you've got the plane, you have to put them in a trolley, and then they take them, and you see them, and they put them in the hold of the plane for free. For free. Normally it costs a lot of money to do that. Normally it costs about £25 to do that. But if you wait, you can get rid of your baggage for free. It's fascinating, though, to watch what happens as their staff walk down the queue. There are people arguing ferociously sometimes with them about, they say they can take the bags on the planes for free, not in the hold. And people refuse to have the yellow tags on, you know, they insist on putting them on. And it can get quite heated at times. We have seen people have the yellow tag put on, and as they walk towards the plane, before they get to the bottom of the steps, rip it off so they can take it up on the plane. It's amazing how attached we get to baggage. But actually, you know, it's much more free to leave it at the bottom of the steps. Just walk up onto the plane. Okay, the seats are rather cramped together. And you know, just sit there and let them take care of it. Baggage. There's something in these stories about that. Baggage that hinders the journey, and other baggage that will help us along the way with Jesus. I think these passages are some of the most challenging stories in the New Testament. They're also some of the most inspiring stories too. Personally, for me, that second part, that chapter 10 passage, has been something which has been at the heart of my thinking for 20 years or more now as a Christian. But they are challenging. And therefore, you need to be careful how you read them, careful how you understand them, because it seems in Jesus' words that there is something almost unreasonable about the demands that he's making. Seems to clash with our ordinary, everyday lives. So you have to be careful as you read them and as you hear them, but actually if you're going to speak about them, you've got to be careful too, because I don't want to push people into the weight of these words. They're meant to give life, not death. Both of these stories are about following Jesus. That's clear in the first passage. There's lots of following language going on. Jesus invites people to follow him. Other people express that desire to follow him. But the second passage where he sends out these 72 people ahead of him, that's very much too about following. Because the way he sends them out to heal the sick and to say the kingdom of God is near is very much the thing that he was doing himself that other people had seen him do. They're following the pattern of Jesus. So they both have something in about following Jesus. But there's a contrast too. And sometimes if you want to receive the message of the Word of God, you've got to think about why passages are put in the order that they are, because actually sometimes they're mixed around by the Gospel writers. And Luke's put these two passages together because there are a few contrasts in them as well. The first passage is very much about hindrances to following Jesus. And the second passage is about this willingness to follow Jesus. There's this contrast between the security of what is known in life to the adventure of what God might do with us in life. It's a sandwich, and in the middle is a filling. That's an invitation to move from one way of being to the other. Follow me was a kind of key invitation of Jesus. It's what he said to the first disciples on the beach. Follow me, I'll make you fishers again. It's at the heart of God's invitation to new life. Jesus is life. And yet actually it can seem a strange invitation. In a world where our lives are settled, where we live in houses of bricks and mortar, where we stay put for decades, if not all of our lives. In fact, moving around these days, in a way that people used to move around in Jesus' way, that's seen a little bit suspect, isn't it? Those kind of people are on the fringe of our settled society, the Romanies, the travellers, the migrants. They're the ones who are suspect. And yet, despite the settledness of our lives, here's a challenge that we need to keep on hearing individually and as church communities. Because it speaks of this radical shift of focus that God wants in our lives. See, there's a temptation for us to mould our following of Jesus according to the demands and desires of our life rather than the other way around. That was the heart of what J. John was inviting people to think about and respond to yesterday. You know, he used lots of different pictures. He's very good at jokes and pictures. You know, he talked about, is Jesus in the driving seat? That was his invitation. Is Jesus in the driving seat? Well, actually, he didn't quite stop there. He said, that's where you think I'm going to stop with this kind of story, isn't it? Yes, we've heard this before. Is Jesus in the driving seat? He said, yeah. He said, but is Jesus in the driving seat? But I've got another question for you. Are you a backseat driver? Are you a backseat driver? Shaping the journey, not driving it. Saying, Jesus, I want you to drive my lives. But actually, you're in the backseat saying, actually, Jesus, I'm not so keen on that. Come and go. See, there's a temptation for all of us to have a bit of Jesus, a bit of religion, but actually still be trying to drive it from the back seat. There's a desire to follow in these people who have these conversations with Jesus, but the ordinary things of life, family, home, duty, they hold them back. Well, surely they are important to God, aren't they? Those things, we have to give our attention to them. That's part of living. Well, yes, they are. And on another occasion where a man who's just been healed, released from demons, wants to follow Jesus, he tells him to go back home and tell people what God has done for him. Family, home, duty, work, they are important, yes. But in following Jesus, that following has to include all of those things too. Nor is this passage giving us permission to abandon and neglect these responsibilities, to put God and church ahead of these things which are important either. Jesus criticized the religious people of his own day for doing things like that. For saying, actually, I'm going to give my time and my money to God so I don't have to give it to family and parents to help me. And Jesus said, you've got it so wrong. These things are important. But following calls us to trust him for the whole of life, not to focus on what maintains and brings security, or for what we feel secure in. This following is active and not static. You don't have to go on the road to do it. You can do it here in Croxley in our lives, but it does mean letting go and taking up this new life. True for us as individuals, and it's true for us as community, as church too, as we follow Jesus. I was really blessed yesterday by going down to Just One, and one of the blessings actually happened outside of the stadium. Graham had already got back on the coach, was enjoying the air conditioning. I decided to stretch my legs. And he must have thought, looking through the window, he's hugged a stranger there. Because I hugged a couple of people as they walked along the road. Actually, they weren't strangers. That was Anne and Dave. Anne's a Baptist minister I trained with her. She's down in Thatcher now. She's just retired. And, you know, I haven't seen them very often, so when I see them, I'll give them a big hug. Somebody said recently, I think there's somebody in the deacon's meeting. No, we're not a church that gives hugs, or I am. I'll give them to on the street. Watch out. I met them, and then I got talking to a lady from Beach and Grove Baptist Church, and she's a member there. I don't know if you're aware of what's gone on at Beach and Grove Baptist Church these last 5 years. Do you know what's gone on down there? Do you have a look at their notice board? The one that's actually on Beach and Grove on the Watford Ring Road, the road we all fly around in our cars these days. Have you ever read that notice board? Yeah? No? You know, when Peter and Anne Robbins came to join us, when Peter left ministry down there after about 7 or 8 years, you know, they were a little church. They were 35 members, getting older, very traditional service. And I guess they wondered what future they had. And, you know, they called Tom Kirk to be pastor there. And, you know, Tom's nearing retirement, and I guess it was his last ministry. And they got a lot of space at that church. I mean, it used to be a huge church, really significant church. You know, 35, 40 people on a Sunday in that church. It's packed now. It's packed now. You take a walk down there and look at their notice board. There are 6 churches meeting in that building, 6 fellowships meeting in that building. There is Beach and Grove Baptist Church meeting in that building. There is the Romanian church meeting in that building, speaking in worshiping in Romanian, who pack out their entire auditorium and have to open the doors at the back and put extra seats out. You're talking 250, 300 people. Mainly for a choir, mainly for a praise and prayer session. There are 2 fellowships there who are African fellowships speaking in their own language. There are 6 fellowships meeting in that church. And as I stood waiting for that coach, I was talking to a member of that church, and a more elderly gentleman came up to me and came up to us and was listening. And I said to them, What has happened in your church is amazing these last few years. And the old gentleman said to me, he said, it's not what we expected. we expected our congregation to grow. And they have grown a bit, actually. There are about 45 members down there. We expected our congregation to grow, but that's not what God has done. It's not what God has done. But he didn't say that with regret. He said it with a smile on his face. Because God has done a work there in a totally different way than they expected. They kind of made some baggage behind. And to let God do a new thing. That doesn't mean to say that actually what's been left behind wasn't precious. You know, in my loft, I have a box. I call it my precious box. And I keep in there things going back to my childhood and through the years that I've collected that have been part of my life. I don't use them anymore. I've got a slide rule in there. Who wants a slide rule when you've got a calculator on your phone these days, you know? I've got an autographed book that somebody gave me. So I've got one autograph in it. It's Douglas Bader. I've got my granddad's pocket watch in there. I've got a few books in there, school things in there, other things from later in life. It's my precious box. I don't use them anymore. I've left them behind in a sense. I don't carry them around with me every day, although they're part of my life. But they still have meaning and value to me. And every time I move, I've moved a fair bit in the last 15 years. Every time I move, when we're packing away at the house, you know, I look in and I go through it. They're still valuable. They're not for now, but they're still precious, but I've left them behind. That's the challenge of the first part of this passage. But the second part of this passage also has its challenges too. This sending out of these 72 people. Now we think actually that this may be only for a few people. People like Philip and Rosemary, who we support financially with our prayers, or people like Fabio over in Portugal and Susanna, we support them with our prayers, we support them with our finances. That's the first mistake we make when we read this passage. And then even if we do think it's about us, what Jesus asked them to do to heal the sick and tell the kingdom of God to come near you, that seems a bit radical, doesn't it? I mean, we struggle actually to say to people from time to time at the end of a conversation, I will pray for you. Even I kind of go to the more acceptable phrase, I'll be thinking of you. Never mind saying, would you like to pray for me to be healed? But there is something to learn in these verses about how God wants to share life through us and what he is about. And what he invites us to be part of in following him. First, it's about partnering with God. I mean, partnering with others. He doesn't send them out on their own one at a time. He sends them out together. And he asks them to put down their baggage and to travel lightly. It's a sign that they're partnering with God, that God, they're trusting God to provide what they need. Secondly, they don't set up in the marketplace of the towns or hire a building and say, come to us, we've got something important to share with you. No. They go into people's homes. I mean, that was probably the pattern of the day. You know, if there were strangers in town, you invited them to stay. There were no hotels or B&Bs and things like that. You invited them to stay and you fed them. It was part of the honour culture of the day. We live in a slightly different culture, but there's still things to learn. Because it says to us, actually, God is at work in people's lives beyond our activities that we do together. Beyond the things we invite them to. You will be out and about this week. You will be at the U3A meeting. You will be at the allotment. You will be at the Red Cross Centre. You will be meeting people for coffee and for meals. You'll be out shopping, bumping into people. In all of those weekly activities that you do, bodies with you. And there is a possibility of you sharing something of him with others. Just that sometimes we're not aware of it. Or actually we don't expect it. Thirdly, this is about sharing peace with people. You know, when they go to the town and say, peace be with you, that's that phrase shalom. Peace be with you. Beyond a handshake, a hello. It's the heart of Jesus' work to bring us to peace with God, to peace with one another, to peace with ourselves, and to let other people know there is peace. One of those footballers yesterday who J. John interviewed on the set-in on the stage. You know, when asked why did you become a Christian, he said, I was always looking for peace. And I saw it in these people who were Christians. And that's what I wanted. That's why I became a Christian. It's at the heart of what we have to offer to people. It's the heart of what God has to offer to you, peace. And as we share this peace with people, we don't just do it as Christians, sometimes we do it by sharing the journey with others who aren't quite have our belief, but actually share our values. The people who welcome the peace that we have to offer. But as we am to share with us, it's hard work. Sometimes it's hard work for us to allow God to do this in us. But actually, even if we do that, it's hard work at times. People are resistant. There is something in us, something that you know, we're made to share in God's life, but we're resistant to that. That's why the filling between these two stories is so important. Ask the Lord to send out workers into his harvest field. Ask the Lord to send out workers into his harvest field. Now, I don't think that's a prayer for them. I think it's a prayer for them. And I don't think it's a prayer to pray for people like JJ, or Philip and Rosemary, or Fabian and Suzanne, or for other people. I think it's a prayer for each one of us. It's a prayer. It's a prayer actually that expresses a desire to respond to that invitation of Jesus when he says, follow me. Follow me. Now, I have really struggled this week with this sermon. I really love this sending out the 72 passage. It shaped my vision of church for decades now. So much so that when we planted a church, our kind of strap line as a church was a life together so we could live apart. A life together, encouraging and sharing together in worship so we could go out there and share something of Jesus with people. And I nearly abandoned this sermon this week and thought, no, that's just too hard to speak on. That was until the 4th of July, or the 5th of July actually, when this is my daily prayer, Bible reading book, Celtic Daily Prayer Volume 2. And as we kind of end and just pray together, as I sat down a few days ago, struggling with this sermon, this was the meditation for the day. And I just read it to you, and I'm going to leave some silence of prayer, and then I'm going to lead us in prayer. But I think it captures, for me, it just felt like God said to me, you need to carry on. We're trying to express these stories today. It just simply says this. Many a ship has sailed from port to port with no interference from me, because strong will has been at the wheel. Multitudes of pleasure cruisers go merrily on their ways, untouched by the power of my hands. But you have put your life into my keeping, and because you are depending on me for guidance and direction, I will give it. Move steadily, and know that the waters that carry you are the waters of my love and my kindness. And I will keep you